We bonded over subspecies and Sisters of Mercy references, hung out together at conventions like World Horror and the H.P. Lovecraft Film Festival, explored Portland to seek out the infamous local Witch's Castle, because of course we did. With all that in hand, it seems like I ought to be well-equipped to introduce you to the stories contained in this, the collection that I've been awaiting for so long, but I can't shake the feeling that it might be better to just get out of your way and let you dive in headlong, let the undertow take you down and down and down, as it does so many of the characters in these tales. After all, if you're already listening to this, then chances are you have at least some idea of what you're in for. Though I can tell you from experience, even if you've read some of these stories elsewhere, nothing can fully prepare you for this book. It's tempting to call many, maybe most, of the stories in this book urban fantasy, even the ones that don't take place anywhere near a city. But if they are, then they're from a breed of urban fantasy that owes more to Clive Barker and early White Wolf RPGs than to anything you're likely to find shelved under that heading these days. Whatever you want to call them, ultimately, these are some of my favorite kinds of stories. Spooky tales that crackle with suppressed energy, feeding off influences that range from Lovecraft and Chambers to fairy tales, Norse mythology, and even the zombie apocalypse, but always performing that rare and wonderful alchemy of transmuting the raw stuff of inspiration into the gold of an original and electric vision. At the edges of these stories, you can always feel larger worlds unfolding, flexing black wings against the night. Some of these tales share threads with one another, and there's at least one that will feel familiar to those who have read Amanda's excellent novel, Dreams of Shreds and Tatters. In her own author's note, Amanda calls these stories a fossil record, mosaic tiles that don't form the picture they were supposed to. But while they may not form the picture they were originally intended to form, the one that we are left with is every bit as vivid and tantalizing as any more fully fleshed creation could ever be. In these pages, you'll find tales of cruelty and cunning, of desire and desperation and obsession, and yet, what you will not find are dreary stories of drudgery or utter despair, in spite of the many grim tidings within. Amanda sees the beauty that lies in longing with a clarity that few others can match, and as frequently as her protagonists struggle against the beast without, or perhaps more often the one within, they are also striving toward some transmutation that is often painful, even brutal, but always breathtaking. What is it like to be the monster? To be the other? To be the person standing at the edge of the tide, who can neither be a part of the land nor the sea? What space, after all, could ever really be more liminal than the one in the human, or nearly human, heart? Midian may be where the monsters go, but what of those who can't find a home even among the damned? These are the questions asked in Amanda Downham's short stories, and if there are answers to be had, they are never easy ones. For anyone who has ever stood at the top of a dark staircase and looked down into the shadows below with as much longing as fear, this is the collection for you. It will remind you of why we're afraid of the dark, and also why we nonetheless venture into it. I'm going to get out of your way now and let you get started. Whether you're new to Amanda's work or, like me, have been waiting for this collection for years, don't just get your toes wet. Dive right in. It's dark down there, and cold. But it's also lovely, and there's light where you wouldn't expect. Orin Gray, June 2017. Rack. Wind keened out of the north as they hauled in the last catch, whipping white froth on wave caps and whistling past the rigging. The sky was green, air tangy with the coming storm, waves slip-slapped against the Calliope's hull. The winch groaned under heavy nets. Not heavy enough, Jess thought, as the nets slopped onto the deck, spraying water and scales, a quarter of what his father had caught on a good day. The off-season would be lean. He glanced away with a frown, rubbing his hands together against the bite of the wind.